Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood, a.k.a. Hobbo.
Well, if you're a diehard, you've been dying a lot here lately, I must admit.
I'm living up to my nickname. Trust me, there's some nights I can't even sleep.
I'm discouraged, as I said before the show. I'm about to swear off sports. I'm going to become a ballet and opera fan.
Well, between your Pirates and your Pittsburgh Steelers, it's been a tough run.
You know, the Wahoos lose over the weekend. And
And it's freezing rain outside, so you can't walk the dog.
I know, yeah. And my alarm clock went off this morning, and 5 minutes later, the power goes out. So it's not been my not been my weekend day. Here.
Couldn't even get some hot coffee, could you?
But I should, while we're my daughter's birthday today. So
how about that?
Happy birthday, Jenny. I'm going to try to get back to the house as quick as I can to see her unwrap a package or two.
How about that? All right, we don't want to hold you up. Let's see, where to begin? Wahoo basketball team suffered a sort of an ugly loss, for lack of a better word.
Which one are you referring to?
At home against the Wisconsin Badgers last week. Was that Wednesday night?
It was Wednesday night.
That was Bricklayer's Wednesday night special.
You know, I told some people that, you know, I never really added them up, but I probably broadcast, say, 450 games, played in 80, and Lord only knows how many others I've seen in person over the last 40 years. That may have been the worst game I've ever seen.
It was a
brick fest. It was brutal. I mean, you know, Dr. Naismith was spinning in his grave on Wednesday evening.
It was tough. If Chuck Noe had still been around, he would have thrown his program in the air and walked out of JPJ.
But we could use a little bit of Chuck Noe coaching, I think, once in a while.
I miss Chuck Noe. He was the man.
Chuck, he was a good basketball mind.
But let's talk about a number of things. First off, tonight, we have former Mighty Might Wahoo guard Ricky Stokes joining us in a matter of moments. And we are hoping, weather permitting, communications permitting, and maybe if lightning strikes, we'll have Jeff McDonald, former UVA defensive lineman and a local here in town who works part-time with the Benedictine football team as a defensive line coach and a terrific guy. And we're hoping we can hook him up because he played on the first Peach Bowl team back in 84. But communications got a little scrambled today with the weather and so forth, and hopefully Jeff is listening and can call in as we had described. And anyhow, Hobbo, any other thoughts?
Well, just, you know, as we joke about it, but I am discouraged. I mean, I thought this basketball team was going to have a chance to have a special year, and I guess, you know, we're only 10 games in, and, you know, they got a couple of weeks off now to take care of their academic pursuits, and maybe the coaches can sit down and try to figure out what's gone wrong. You know, on Wednesday night against Wisconsin, they couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. Now, some of that you got to give credit to the Badger defense. They play defense the way Tony Bennett plays defense.
Not
but
when
then,
you're missing layups.
I mean, well,
probably 20
drives.
Points left.
Those were drives. A lot. You know, I heard a lot of people talk about the close-range shots that the Hoos missed, and not to jump in, but a lot of those balls were contested. And what has got to happen as you go up to the basket, you have to anticipate and expect contact. And the refs the other night—
It's college basketball, of course. It's every shot unless it's a fast break.
Listen, well, you know, part
three,
of it, too,
those,
is
hold on, the—
The
three refs were the evil Carl Hess, Mike Eads, and Brian Dorsey. They swallowed their whistle every time Virginia drove to the basket because almost never did
That's not the reason we lost.
Yeah, but a lot of times there was significant contact, no whistle, no trip to the foul line. The Virginia players deep down got pretty frustrated.
Well, half the time, the way we shoot free throws, it wouldn't make any difference anyway. But, you know, the one thing that's been lost in college basketball over the years is the 12 to 15-foot pull-up jump shot. You know, all these guys want to take it to the rim, and maybe they're looking to get contact and go to the free throw line. But, you know, my attitude has always been a 15-foot shot uncontested is better than a contested layup.
Or how about an 8-foot or a 10-foot shot?
Yeah.
There were a number of times Joe Harris and Justin Anderson had opportunities to pull up and bank the ball off the glass, but they decided to go all the way.
Well, you don't practice that shot. I'm guessing they're taking three-pointers, they're driving. No one takes that in-between shot when they're practicing.
Well, it looks like they're not practicing any shots.
That's true, too.
Well, hold on. They did shoot it at Wisconsin-Green Bay. They're 21 of 27 from the foul line.
That's better.
So you can't say that 21 of 27 is horrible free throw shooting.
No, they shot free throw. I mean, and this team, I mean, they need to make shots. You know, if you're going to play this half-court style of game where you're going to try to, you know, possession by possession, you got to take care of the basketball. You got to have good shot selection. You got to make shots. You got to go to the free throw line and make free throws. I mean, that's Tony Bennett basketball, and they need to get back to that. On Wednesday night, they just were inefficient, to say the least, on offense. And then Saturday up at Green Bay, defensively, I'm sure Coach Bennett would say they didn't play defense the way he needs them to play. Because I think he even made a comment to Ted Jeffries after the game that they just didn't get enough stops.
They needed stops. You know, it's funny he says that, and I agree to a certain extent, particularly in the last 3 minutes of the game. Okay, but from the standpoint of following the Hoos very closely for a long time, it seemed to me that Virginia did not start that game with the intensity and the focus that a good team must have on the road.
Yeah, particularly on the road. The
Wisconsin-Green Bay got off to a decent start, and the score at halftime was 37-31. I would say at that point, let's break some chairs in the locker room. Let's butt some heads against the wall. Let's yell a little bit and find some fire.
What do you guys think about the amount of substitutions that Tony's making? Do you think that he should spend more time with one lineup and let him kind of play and develop as the game goes on? Or do you think it's good that what he's doing is kind of moving people around, moving places around to see how different groups work?
Brilliant question. We were talking about that a little bit before our opening tonight.
I'd give him credit for a good question, maybe not brilliant.
Okay, look.
See, Hobbo and Frank were arguing with each other before the show about this, so I had to throw it in there to get them going on air.
You did.
I've been trying it.
You did the right thing. So I'm going to go back and reference Jason Williford and his comments some time ago, and then Ted Jeffries speaking on air with us. Now, Jason and I had a conversation before the season one-on-one, and I asked him about who was the starting lineup and who were the first three guys off the bench. And he gave me a long, convoluted answer, and I said, what the heck? And he said, well, Tony is working on maybe a situation where most likely he's going to be using different platoons against different teams because we have such a versatile team in terms of depth. And I think maybe Coach Bennett and Richie McKay and Jason, what they're struggling with, Hobbo, is the same thing that Ted Jeffries couldn't answer on our show just a few weeks ago, and that is, who's the best five, and who's the best eight, and who's the best 10, and when do you play the big lineup versus the fast lineup? When do you play the old veteran lineup versus the new kids? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I like a shorter bench. You know, if I'm the coach, Joe Harris is going to be on the floor 35 minutes a night unless he's in foul trouble or hurt. You know, and I just think, now, admittedly, a lot of times in November, December, you're experimenting with different player rotations. You're trying to figure out the chemistry. And on a given night, you know, you want to play a hot hand. You know, the one game in that Corpus Christi challenge, obviously Justin Anderson came off the bench and had a heck of a night. So you want to give him as many minutes as you can in a situation like that where he's playing well and scoring. At any rate, I mean, you just start looking for reasons why the team is not playing up to the level that you expected. So I'm sure the coaches are scratching their heads a little bit as well.
You know, what's interesting, looking at the final box score for the Wahoos versus Green Bay, and by the way, for all of you folks out there that immediately dismissed that, oh, Virginia lost to Green Bay. Well, Green Bay lost by 1 point to Wisconsin, which Wisconsin is number 8 in the nation. So looking at this box score from the other day, Green Bay won by 3 points. 75-72, and, you know, Anthony Gill, 21 minutes. Akil Mitchell, 32 minutes, Hobbo. Joe Harris, 25. Malcolm Brogdon, 32. London Parentes, 28. Justin Anderson, 25 minutes. And Mike Toby, 15. Okay. I see Tevin Jones played five. Evan Nolte, 9 minutes, and Darian Atkins, eight. So I've seen different breakdowns in terms of the minutes. You know, some games, Tevin Jones gets none. But I think if London Prentice comes out of the game, Virginia's better off with Tevin Jones at the point than Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon is not a one. He never was a one. They're not going to make him into a one. And if they keep beating his brains in, he won't be a good two.
Well, it depends on matchups, you know. And
fiddlesticks.
No, it depends on matchups on both the offense and defensive end. You know, part of the problem with Brogdon being a point guard is it's not so much offense as defense. You know, a lot of virtually anybody's defense depends on that point guard being able to guard the other team's point guard off the dribble. And Brogdon, if you have a quick guard playing for the other team, it's very difficult for Malcolm to do that.
Malcolm is too big to be out there trying to guard that guy. Malcolm is 6'5", right?
6'5", probably.
Plus 235. I mean, he could be a tight end. He's actually 215.
Yeah. But he's a solid guy. Yeah,
he could easily carry 235.
He's clearly a wing player, but I think it's the defensive end that causes the problem. And once that point guard for the other team breaks you down, then the whole defense is broken down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we hope to have Ricky Stokes lined up. And hopefully Jeff McDonald has listened to the show and he knows to call in. The main number here is 345-0910, 345-0910, and we'll take your calls during Ricky's segment. And stay with us. This is Who's Talking?